Some people call me Martian Manhunter.
Hello.
Oh, hey.
This is our podcast, Out of Dodge.
You are listening to the two of us buffoons. I'm Trevor.
And I'm Shane.
And we went to film school, believe it or not. Well, on this podcast, we talk about movies, TV shows, video games, anything that we want to talk about, really. Also, I want to preface real quick before we jump into this.
Yep.
We're not a superhero movie, comic book movie podcast.
It's in the news. It's hot right now. You know, we gotta talk about it.
We have to talk about it, Shane.
Okay. Recently,
yeah,
on HBO Max, the Snyder Cut of Justice League came out. This is a 4-hour film. Justice League was directed by Zack Snyder and written by, and he was about to finish the movie when there was kind of a family tragedy and he had to step away, but the film wasn't done, so they called in Joss Whedon, a man who's not very good at what he does.
And the same person who a person who has the exact same wheelhouse as Zack Snyder, you know?
A person Marvel fired because they realized he was a fucking idiot. They brought him on, and then he tried to kind of change the tone, course correct-ish, the film kind of into a different beast, and then it came out, and it kind of ended up being the worst of both worlds. It was dark and gritty and stupid, but it was also full of terrible jokes and things that weren't funny, and the tone was just a complete mess. So people have believed over the years that if the film had been completed as Zack Snyder wanted, it would have been a glorious masterpiece. They were like, no, all this stuff got cut. It's the best superhero film of all time. You got to release the Snyder Cut. We need it. We got to get it right away. So Warner Brothers was like, we decided to spend money on this, and we decided to complete this film. It is four hours long.
There's like $7 million or something on it, on the reshoot.
I thought it was
like
70.
70? Jesus.
Yeah, it's
God
a bit.
Damn.
Yeah.
Well, I guess in the new cut, they don't include anything that Joss Whedon shot. They did some VFX stuff. What, they did one reshoot thing at the end? It was like the nightmare scene. But generally, everything was already shot, or they used, you know, old footage from other things that didn't get into the films. Like some old footage from Man of Steel that never made it.
Shall we begin this terrible discussion that we must have? We're going to try to talk about this movie for only 10 minutes. I'm going to try
it's
to
not
do
gonna
a timer.
Happen, but
it's
we're
not
going
to happen, but we're going to try for the sake of your sanity and our sanity. So I'm going to start the timer right about now.
Okay, it could have been 2 hours, if that, you know?
I agree
Why
with you.
Why it got to be four hours long, you know?
4 hours. 4 hours is something you really have to earn. It's like a 6-minute song. It's like everything you say and everything you do needs to matter and needs to be something. Like Avengers Endgame was like 3 hours. It earned that time. This movie is full of dog shit and garbage and just pointless insanity. It's so bad and so droll and so everything's so long and stupid. And like in the original cut of the film, you would have like these quick battles and you're like, okay. But Zack Snyder was like, they have to be longer and there has to be slow motion. Like, all these Amazonians get killed. And I'm like, this whole scene is bad. It's a bad scene.
There's a weird slow motion thing that Zack Snyder loves. I don't love it.
No, I would love it if it happened only once, but it's like 10% of
because
the film or something.
Because it loses its effect when you use it all the time. I saw 100%. Someone who wrote that, like, Wonder Woman doing stuff in slow motion isn't as cool because she moves really fast. And there's a moment where she's, like, blocking bullets and moving super quick. And you're like, cool, she has superpowers. She can do that. I can't do that because I'm a normal slow person. When everything's in slow motion, there's no point in her having, like, super speed or, like, whatever. Because it's all the same speed.
And I will say, I understand, like, if the Flash is running, you do that in slow motion. Otherwise, you won't see it because, you know, super speed.
Yeah,
but you don't have to do that for everybody else who moves at regular speed. You know what I mean?
And
you can just have them do the stuff that they do.
Superman and the Flash have like a really quick tussle when Superman wakes up and he's all like, I'm angry. And it's in slow motion because they're both moving at super speed, which would be cool if the whole movie wasn't already in slow motion. Yeah. So there's no, like, we don't care because we're like, we've seen this before. 1,000 times we've seen this before in this movie where everything is in slow motion. Fucking Lois Lane getting coffees in slow motion. Amy Adams is a stellar actress. She brings it every single goddamn time, right? Whether she's in, you know, American Hustle. Hell, even Man of Steel, she's on top of it.
That's because,
you know,
she can do stuff in Man of Steel, and she's like a reporter, and then they forget that.
Nothing in this movie.
No, she's sad because her boyfriend's dead, and she might be pregnant. They don't really elaborate on that.
They don't go into it. So she just shows up to the statue of him that's destroyed, and she's like, I'm sad. And then she goes home and sleeps in bed for, like, the rest of the movie. And then Martian Manhunter comes, and he's like, the world needs you, Lois. But not me, apparently. And he fucks off for the rest of the movie. The dialogue is bad.
It's pretty cringy, you know?
Yeah.
There's a lot of, like, the dawn of mankind and the twilight of darkness. There's very little chemistry between... The cast is good. I want to say that right off. Like, it's a talented group of people, and it's not their fault. But all of their interactions are very stilted. And it's just kind of weird, and despite being 4 hours, it still feels really jaunted. You know what I mean? Yeah. And again, it's 4 hours long, but it still feels so uneven. And it's kind of incredible how you manage to make a movie that long and that meandering, and most of it's in slow motion, and yet it doesn't feel like any of the people are really there or really interacting with each other. Something that I know irritated the shit out of you is that the sets, the literal places that the action takes place in, are so shallow. It looks like a comic book panel, like in the worst way. Not in the way that Spider-Verse looks like you're watching a comic book, but still feels like a living world. Mm-hmm. This is like paper thin. It's a paper thin film.
You know in cartoons where they're like, oh, I'm only going to draw the foreground and the background. I'm just going to do like general shapes.
Yeah.
That's how I felt watching it.
That's fair.
I was like, that looks like poo-poo garbage. Like, it looks so fake. And then it's like... It's also lit so weirdly because, like, obviously the foreground is, like, lit so you can see shit. The background is, like, it's like the sun's in a completely different angle or whatever. It's just, like, mind-boggling. I'm like, you had time to fix this and you didn't fix it? Or that's your vision, you know? Okay.
Do you want to talk about Ares? Because I know how you feel about this, so I'd like you,
to
take this
one. Okay. So there's this point where Wonder Woman, who also conveniently looks at paintings and knows everything about anything, which is so lazy, and it makes me angry. But so she's like, oh, I know the story of how the villain Steppenwolf or whatever, and then also his friend Darkseid came to Earth once, and they almost conquered it, but the old gods and the Amazonians and people and... fish people and the Green Lanterns all showed up and kicked his collective ass, and boy did they. He's supposed to be this menacing villain who's like, hell yeah, I'm here, I'm supposed to get the anti-life equation, and we're like, what is that? And he's like, anyways, I'm here to get the anti-life equation, and they just kick his teeth in, man. Like, Zeus is shooting lightning bolts, and then Ares shows up and just hucks an axe right into his chest. He almost dies. Darkseid almost dies.
They have to carry him into his ship like he's a child.
He gets his ass kicked so hard by a character who's dead. A character who was killed by one of the main characters of the movie.
And then they're flying away. They're flying away and people are shooting arrows at the ships. And the ships are blowing up and crashing into the ground. And it's like... wow, we really won that one real easy, like. Like, we won that one, no question.
Honestly, you didn't need the Green Lanterns or the humans.
Later in the movie, Steppenwolf is like, yo, remember when you were here in the past? And Darkseid's like, was I? And I'm like, how do you forget?
Yeah.
It's not like you're a different person. That was you. And you're not an idiot. I mean, maybe you are.
Turns out, Darkseid's been pillaging, like, thousands of worlds, as you do, trying to find Earth. Because he lost it. Because he wants to find the anti-life equation. Which we're like, what is that? And he's like, where's Earth? And we're like, no, but what is it? And he's like, but where's Earth? He's been destroying universes because he lost a goddamn planet. What is that? What's going on here? How am I supposed to be threatened by a villain who can't use Google Maps? Also, Steppenwolf gets his ass kicked every time he shows up too, so...
Steppenwolf, who looks a little bit better than he did in the original version, is still also kind of lame.
I am gonna say, though, he looks quite a bit better. Quite a bit better. They also give him some good, like, emotion in his face, you know?
Yeah, and the armor's weird, but not in a bad way, you know?
But yeah, it's weird in a cool, kind of a cool way.
It, like, oscillates. It's like a whole thing.
Yeah, I have to say, he might have been my favorite part of the new version.
That's fair.
But it's a low bar, so...
It's a low bar, because you spend a lot of time hacking ATMs, and...
There's so much stuff that doesn't need to be there. And there's some good moments! Every time there's... I was like, oh, that's a good moment.
Anytime, like, Cyborg and the Flash would talk, I'm like, well, maybe they should interact more. Yeah. They don't. It's like, you know, like, two lines of dialogue. Or at the end, so for the final battle, mm-hmm. which is at an abandoned nuclear power plant, it doesn't look like anything. You know, like, I mean, it's a bad and boring place to have a fight. I'll be real with you. But there actually is some decent, like, fight choreography, and everyone's actually doing something, and people are getting cut to pieces, and Wonder Woman's doing flips, and I'm like, okay, it's not long enough to justify the movie. You know what I mean?
No.
But it's okay. I'm like, all right, this is more of what the movie should be, is these heroes show up and they fight, not for like 20 minutes in a 4-hour movie, but maybe a little bit longer in a 4-hour movie, you know? I want to talk about Batman. In this whole movie, he's shit. There's no like, when you see Batman in this movie, you're like, Batman, I please would like you to go away, because I do not like this Batman at all. He has a really shitty plane. He has a really shitty spider tank. All he does is, like, punch one alien, and then he shoots a bunch with a dumb alien gun. And it's not entertaining to watch, and it just sucks. It just sucks.
It does. There's moments in Ben Affleck's performance where you can just be like, oh, buddy, you okay? The Batman stuff is so sad, because, like, I like Batman. I like Batman a lot.
I also like Batman, but, like...
I like to root for him, because he's a hero that I can, you know, empathize with, because he's not, like, a literal god. But he's just nothing in this. And it's sad. Also, they don't earn their ending at all. Because there's the whole, like, Barry can time travel all of a sudden, and I'm like, okay.
So, yeah, Barry does time travel. He gets his intestines shot out. And, like, I know that violence is cool, but sometimes it's just gross. And I'm like, why did we have to see Barry Allen get shot in the stomach by a giant gun? Like, what, did we need it? Like, there, like, you saw the inner workings of the Flash for about a second in that film. Suffice it to say, they maybe say the word time travel one time in this 4-hour film. So then at the end of the film, Barry Allen's like, I guess I'll time travel. And then he does. Because reality is destroyed. And then he's like, I'll go quick. And then he goes quick. And then reality is not destroyed anymore. The MacGuffins. So the movie centers around these mother boxes.
Mm.
And in theory, the idea is that if you get all the mother boxes and put them together, they turn the Earth into the apocalypse world. So it's a copy-paste plot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which... is really resembling the whole film, because they're just trying to be other better films, but don't.
Mm-hmm.
So they get all these mother boxes together, and in theory, it's going to turn the Earth into Apocalypse World or whatever. And also, Darkseid will be able to come through in a portal, which he could probably do anyway, because they have boom tubes.
Yeah,
that's how Steppenwolf goes around. It's not a ship, it's a boom tube. I don't know how boom tubes work.
I don't know. I have no idea.
I guess they work whenever the writer decides that they do.
Yeah, and also, I guess Steppenwolf can also breathe underwater?
Yeah, I mean, at a point, no, he can't.
That's true.
Mara tries to suck all the blood out of his face, which is cool.
I mean, that happens to the best of us.
And, sure. The bad thing to, like, anchor the whole film around, that's one thing. Because it's very weird and nebulous and kind of like, what?
Yeah, because it's like, oh, well, there's also people that live inside the mother boxes. And I'm like, I don't...
Oh yeah,
man.
Cyborg has to fight witches.
Ghosts?
Who appear as, like, his family or something. Also, his dad just dies. He sacrifices himself in a dumb way and it doesn't matter. And I'm like, okay,
yeah,
well.
Yeah, it's silly.
The thing is, this movie has a lot of big moments that, if they had been set up, might have been rewarding. Mm-hmm. Like, Cyborg's dad sacrifices himself, or the Flash time travels, or Wonder Woman cuts the head off this evil dude. And I'm like, I want to celebrate these moments because, in theory, they're cool. But they're not really rewarding. Or Superman comes back to life and you want to be like, great, he just died, like, 2 seconds ago. And also, we didn't really care about him beforehand because he was in, like, a movie and a half. That's no offense to the guy. It's just because we didn't spend any time with Superman, so we don't really care. All we saw him do was, like, oh, he broke a truck once, and then he saved a city, kind of. Why would the world really mourn his death? We barely knew him.
Could you imagine Iron Man dying in Iron Man 2?
That's the equivalent. If he had been killed by Whiplash, and we would have been like, why'd you do that? That seems like a huge waste of potential. You can't have these giant moments if you don't, like, earn them and don't set them up. Otherwise, it's just empty bullshit.
It's like putting the cart before the horse, you know?
It's just putting the cart off a cliff.
You want something to happen, but you don't put the effort in to earn it, you
or,
know?
Or, like, explain it or make it, like, a real struggle. I'm not saying this movie should have been, oh, aliens invade Big City, because we did that bit. Yeah. But there's just, it's so, oh, it's an abandoned nuclear power plant city. That's the worst place. Why didn't they go fight on Darkseid World, which probably would have looked cool or something? Why didn't they go anywhere else? Other than ruins of a city that looks like a CGI nightmare. At one point, like, Aquaman destroys a building, and I'm like, that's all CGI and it's gross.
Yeah.
Why couldn't this fight have been anywhere else?
Yeah, it's also the CGI is janky as hell.
There are times, as we said with Steppenwolf's armor, where I'm like, all right, that works.
Yeah.
But, like, there are burning cars that look like shit, and the sets will look like shit, and I'm like, this is just not happening, and I'm not here.
And then the flash from the nightmare scene looks like Play-Doh.
Oh, it does. So, at the end of the movie, that we've been talking about this for 3 hours, but at the end of the film, after we destroy the mother boxes and Darkseid is, like, gone or whatever, we cut to the future, or, like, nuclear future, and Batman's stumbling around in a dumb, shitty jacket. And the Flash is there in dumb shitty armor. And Mara is there somehow. Cyborg, I think Cyborg lived too.
Yeah.
But they're walking around. The city's been destroyed. And then the Joker shows up. Jared Leto's Joker. The worst Joker of all time. And they talk and it's so stupid.
It's terrible.
Because one, edgy shitbag Batman would have killed this edgy shitbag Joker by now. But they're like, oh, well, why did you send Robin to do a man's job? Is a thing the Joker says, which is a cool line, right? No.
No.
And the idea is that, oh, Batman's going to have to work with the Joker to save the world.
Kill Superman?
Like, what does the Joker know about anything? It's not like the Joker's an expert at time travel. Like, what does he provide other than being a useless piece of shit? Nothing.
Dude,
nothing.
It's insane.
And then Superman shows up and he's evil. You know, like in Justice, a video game that came out 1,000 years ago and a comic book line that people like? Yeah. Zack Snyder wanted to do a shitty version of that because he can't have ideas.
It's a mess. It's a mess.
It's a messy, bad film. And I know some people are like, it's so much better than the original version. And in some ways, you know what I mean? Maybe like consistency and like actual the way the plot moves. Sure. Mm-hmm. But honestly, in terms of a movie, it's kind of at the same level of shit. It's just different. It's just they didn't go up. They went sideways. We're still in hell, though.
It's weird because they had, like, at least for me, I know there's a lot of people that enjoyed the film. I enjoyed very small moments of the film, but, like, I don't know why, if you have time and you have $70 million to do whatever you want with something, I don't know why it wasn't better.
One of the things that really bothers me is it's just so full of, like, testosterone and dude bro energy. There's no joy. At one point, like, a little girl is like, Wonder Woman, can I be like you when I grow up? And it's supposed to be like a touching moment. But she just like brained 8 different people. They were terrorists. You know, they probably deserved it. But it was in such a dumb, gore-filled, like 2002 video game scene.
Yeah.
Because the blood effects in this movie were obviously added in and looked like shit.
Oh, yeah.
There's so much energy in this movie that is just toxic and like, ooh, look how cool I am. I'm a cool dude. And this movie is great. It's just gross and ugly and stupid and takes away any joy or possibility of having a good time watching this.
Yeah.
Like, it just sucks so much.
I don't want to talk about it anymore.
So, our 10 minutes have
been 20. But anyways, so there's been a lot of talk now online from fans because they're like, we love this movie. Can we have the whole Snyderverse? Can you bring the Snyderverse? And, you know, that might be a future, potentially, if the studio gets bullied by these fans. I don't want more of this. That's the
okay,
thing.
Okay, so I want to start by saying what Zack Snyder wanted or would want in the future of the Snyderverse, which I read an article about it. So the Snyderverse, at least what he wanted it to be, is a 5-part trilogy. I know that sounds stupid, but what I mean by that is the story started in Man of Steel and Batman vs. Superman would continue into 3 Justice League films.
Okay.
So we got Justice League 1, and he was kind of hoping for 2 and 3. Yes. In those movies, and it's bad, Darkseid comes to Earth in Justice League 2, in this hypothetical Justice League 2.
Okay.
And then Lex Luthor is like, you gotta kill Lois. And then Darkseid's like, sure. And then he does that, and then Superman's like, oh, I'm all bummed out. I might as well be evil. You know, he's like, why not be evil? And then he kills Wonder Woman and Aquaman. And then the world basically just turns to ash, because he just keeps killing people, because he's angry now. Batman forms this fucking rogue team with the Flash and Cyborg and Mera and the Joker, even though the Joker can't add anything.
He can't do
any value.
Everyone else has superpowers, and then you have, like, a creep.
Yeah, so then they're like, we have to figure out how to time travel so we can save Lois Lane and then stop Superman from becoming a D-bag. So they do time travel, and then Batman, he sacrifices himself to save Lois.
Fair
and
enough.
And then there's this huge team up in Justice League 3 where they do fight Darkseid and they win. Even though in the original invasion, it just took a few gods and arrows to kill Darkseid. Somehow it takes a billion heroes this time. Whatever. So they take him out. But also there was a little added bonus that Zack Snyder decided to drop. But he was like, well, actually, Lois was going to be pregnant with Batman's kid. Because they had a romance between films. Which is insane to me, because no offense to Ben Affleck, but his Batman is just so... The loser energy from this version of Batman is immense. Just off the charts. There's no, like, swagger or bachelor or fun energy. He's just...
Here's the thing. He's also
terrible.
Never with real people.
He's never Bruce Wayne. He's just a weird dude who makes mediocre stuff that Tony Stark would laugh at. But also, their kid was going to be the next Batman. Isn't that cool?
No.
So that's a 5-part film experience that
that's
people
really
wanted. And that's one potential future for the DC universe.
That's really weird. I don't like that at all.
No, it's dumb.
It's not good. Now that we're out of hypothetical town.
Sure, talk to me.
What's the stuff that's been confirmed?
Okay, so the slate right now.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Suicide Squad. James Gunn is directing. He's got a really talented cast, and that comes out August 6th of this year.
I'm oddly excited. You're gonna get it for free.
So I'm excited because the first Suicide Squad was an obvious ripoff of Guardians of the Galaxy, right down to the trailer. Good trailer, totally a ripoff. But this movie actually has that director, a great cast, and I feel like it will be handled way more competently.
You'd hope.
So I think I trust that one. I think there's a chance that that could be good. We also have The Batman coming out in March 4th of next year.
Yeah.
With Robert Pattinson. And I think that looks great. Like,
and that's
the trailer
in a separate continuity, correct?
Yeah. Yes. No, not related to the Ben Affleck experience at all or the Justice League thing. This is a different Batman doing his own thing. It looks pretty gritty. But in a cool way. After that, we have The Flash, which has kind of been in development hell over the last few years. And right now, they say that's going to be November 4th, 2022. The thing about this is a lot of people think it's going to be Flashpoint. Actually, it will be Flashpoint because as of now, Ben Affleck and Michael Keaton are supposed to be Batman in it. That's interesting. They're like the possibility of like a multiverse and different storylines, and I think Flashpoint as a story is one of the
it's the Flash story everyone knows and
yeah,
everyone
and it's,
likes.
It's the one that works. Yeah, Aquaman 2 currently December 16th, 2022. We have Shazam: Fury of the Gods, and that's June 2nd, 2023. They're working on Black Adam, which is like kind of an origin story for a Shazam villain. So in theory, a future movie would have them fight. Also, Wonder Woman 3 is coming, but no date on that. There's also a Superman reboot somewhat in the works. There's not a lot of information on this. I'll be real with you.
You just brought him back and now you want to kill him again.
Well, the thing is, it's not actually about Clark Kent. This is actually about Calvin Ellis, who is a different version of the Superman character. And there have been some rumors that Michael B. Jordan could be the next Superman, which I would 100% be on board with.
Oh, that's great.
But again, very speculative. Mm-hmm. We don't really have a lot of concrete details. But that is what the slate looks like as of right now.
So we have some promising gems. And
we do have some promising gems.
You know, we'll see how that goes. I feel like the Snyder Cut was just like a one-off, you know?
I'm hoping, you know? I'm really hoping on that. Because I really think we just need to move on.
Yeah.
For them to succeed. I have heard rumors that they kind of want to focus more on individual, like, heroes and things.
That's fine.
Instead of, like, these huge crossover moments. Which I'm great with. And then if they want to do a huge crossover thing in the super future, that's great. I also want to say, I know I just spent a long time shitting on the Justice League, that I want this shit to work. I want shit to work so much. I want live-action Flashpoint to be good. I want more Shazam and Aquaman. I want Wonder Woman to be a little bit better. I want to like Batman for being Batman and not a guy who makes shitty planes and shoots, like, 1,000 guns. And I want Superman to, like, be cool and, like, the beacon of hope that he's supposed to be. I want it to work. But if you keep gluing yourself to one man's really, really, really shitty ideas, it's not going to work because it's going to drain you.
It's draining me. And I'm not even involved. I've just seen a couple. I haven't even seen Shazam and the good ones. The last one I saw was Harley Quinn. Birds of Prey.
Birds of Prey. I like Birds of Prey, although it's a little long.
It's about 40 minutes too long. I'm not going to lie. But
yep.
Last week was a weird week, Shane.
Because
a Marvel thing came out as well. Like, literally the next day. Falcon and the Winter Soldier came out on Disney Plus. First episode was good. It was good.
It's really good. Yeah.
Some spoilers. Some spoilers. You know, it wasn't as action packed as I think a lot of people were hoping for or thinking of. The two titular characters being Falcon and the Winter Soldier don't actually meet up in this episode. But I mean, we got more. We got a whole series. Don't rush it, baby. I am excited for this. Not that I didn't like WandaVision, because I'll go on the record and say I like WandaVision. But this feels like it's more sure of itself.
I agree with you. Because it does feel more like a standard action show. However, there has already been good introspection for both characters.
Yeah, which is sorely needed.
Bucky Barnes is still dealing with the trauma of being brainwashed for literal decades.
Mm-hmm.
And Sam is struggling with, like, being Captain America and if he deserves it or not. And also dealing with, like, a lot of personal shit. You know, like the family business and, like,
and racism. Care
of
his,
and them trying to replace him with, like, the shittiest possible version of Captain America. They found a fucking Dollar General. Like, fuck that guy.
Oh my god, he looks like the Up Man.
He does look like the Up Man.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. I'm stoked. I mean, it's gonna go places. More things are gonna happen. It was very much an introductory episode, so it did its job. It got me excited for the rest of it. Counting the days until Friday. I'm hyped on it. Hopefully it has a better finale than Wonder Woman. Or not Wonder Woman. Sorry, WandaVision.
Yeah, I think it will because it knows what it is. And I think it will continue to be what it is, even if it gets weird.
Yeah.
Oh, something I want to say.
Please.
To make it a whole conversation about all kinds of bullshit. Is that Marvel is very willing to be weird. Maybe not, like, immediately at first. You know, we had our Iron Man 2s and our Dark Worlds, but they were willing to take risks. The big thing about Marvel is that they took characters that people really didn't know. I'm not saying nobody knew, but they took characters that weren't as popular in, like, the world and made them, like, these legendary characters that everybody loved. And they were like, what about a talking tree? And people were like, fuck yeah. And they were like, what if that talking tree was smaller? And they were like, great.
I have a baby Groot sitting on my nightstand right now.
They're just able to, like, create this really weird universe full of all these characters that you love, and you'll be like, I can't possibly like any more people. And they're like, actually, here's these people. And you're like, oh my god. Marvel is able to, like, do all this incredible shit, and currently the DC universe can't really do that. There's just something about how Marvel was able to do this unprecedented shit and also be really weird and also make a really good decision.
Yeah.
Because, so, when the Avengers came out, people were like, that's great, it's the Avengers. Joss Whedon did it, and they were like, obviously we're bringing him back for Avengers 2. And then Age of Ultron came out, and people were like, ah, No. Ooh, get it out. Not this one. It was. It's an inconsistent film, full of a lot of nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
And just it really felt like a step backward, especially after like everyone really liked Winter Soldier, and Marvel was like, yeah, we're done. We're not gonna do the Joss Whedon train anymore. And it was a good decision, and it's good. Sometimes you have to be like, we got to go over here.
Yeah, and also I think it helps to have the goodwill of the audience who will go along with what you're doing. Pre-Ultron age, yeah, we got burned a few times, you know, watching Thor twice, you know, the two Thors, we're like, oh, these are not very good. but, you know, kind of building that rapport with your audience and being like, look, if you trust us to get weird and get fun, you're gonna have a fun time. Trust us. Just do it. I don't necessarily think the same goodwill exists between DC and the general movie-going audience.
DC likes to do big, huge moments with these big heroes, but they don't really put the time in. Except for, like, you know, Wonder Woman 1. I'm not saying there are exceptions, but mm-hmm. a lot of the times they kind of bank on the idea of this guy, or, you know, the idea of, can you believe this is a hero? But they don't necessarily put in the time for you to go, I care about this.
Yeah.
Because they kill Superman the second movie that he's in, and you're like, okay, well.
And they also suffer from this problem of, like, every hero is perfect. And I'm like, uh-oh. How can I care about Diana when she's amazing at everything? You have to humanize him. If we can switch back to Marvel for a real quick second. So they released some new dates for things that are going to come out.
They did. That's true.
Black Widow is now on July 9th, which is coming to theaters and Disney Plus. So if you don't want to leave your house because, I don't know, things, watch on Disney Plus for probably
$30. $30 is probably going to be the cost, hey, but
I'd pay $30 and not get sick, you know? I mean, drown.
Fun fact, in Black Widow, there's a character played by Florence Pugh who is kind of supposed to be this new hero, maybe taking on the mantle of Black Widow. Yeah. And she's actually also going to be in the Hawkeye series. And for a second, it looked like Hawkeye was going to come out before Black Widow, because Black Widow was in a perpetual fucking space storm of not being a thing. Mm-hmm. But luckily, now we will actually experience Black Widow as a culture. And even if it's bad or if it's great, I'm just glad I can experience it. Because yeah, it's been and
we
so
can move,
long.
We can move past Shang-Chi, September 3rd.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's going to be on theaters and streaming. Probably just theaters.
I don't know when what we'll be like by then. Hopefully.
Hopefully okay. Better. You know? Hopefully dry land.
Yeah.
November 5th, The Eternals. Hopefully that's good. And then December 17th, Spider-Man 3, No Way Home.
Such an ominous title, but I kind of like it.
I'm cautiously optimistic about Eternals.
Yeah,
it has a good cast, but like, oh man.
But the concept is a little out there. But again, Guardians shouldn't have worked, but it did. So
it worked twice.
Yeah, we're hoping that energy continues. I'm hoping these characters aren't like, I can make the sun or whatever. You know, not too dumb. Not too. I hope they were able to like ground it at least in a way that makes sense.
I hope it's a little dumb.
I mean, I'm not saying I want it to be a little dumb. You know, I want to see people explode, but like,
yeah.
Within reason.
I'm excited to kind of see post, and we kind of saw it a little bit in Spider-Man, but not really, like the ramifications. We're seeing it a little bit more in Falcon Winter Soldier, but like post the blip life and everything, you know? Especially what happened to the Avengers, because I don't know if they're around anymore.
Well, the compound is gone. Captain Marvel is in space. Hawkeye is hanging out with a surrogate daughter now. And
I'm excited to see kind of what is next. They might be trying to work towards a young Avengers.
I think they almost certainly are working toward that.
Do you think we'll see an Avengers 5 in some form?
Avengers 5 might not be in the same vein as the other films. Like, yeah. I don't know. For Young Avengers, I don't know if they want to do a movie or a TV show. Like, that's, you know, the big question, mm-hmm. I think, for a lot of people.
I think a TV show would be good.
I think that would make sense if they all, like, if they're all from TV to be in TV. And then they could show up in Avengers 5 if we do that. I think if Avengers 5 happens, it's probably going to look really different. I do think it will happen. I think we'll get something big and huge like that. But it'll be probably a very different kind of roster.
Maybe in, like, 3 years? 2 years, you think?
Yeah.
2023?
I mean, I know I've heard talks about, like, Kang the Conqueror and stuff. So, we'll see.
I mean, I also feel like it's hard, which is kind of like Justice League stuff. Like, you can't go back once you've killed God kind of thing. Like,
it's going to be hard to match Thanos considering how well they built that guy up as a villain. You know,
oh,
I mean?
Yeah.
It's going to be difficult to, like, come... I think they can do it. If anybody can do it, it's the people who did it already.
Did it, yeah. I am also a little interested to see if the MCU can continue, will continue. I'm like, it can't go on forever, right? The gravy train gotta end.
In theory, no, but I don't know if it will end. I think it might just change. I mean, yeah. I'm sure eventually Disney will be like, we don't exist because the Earth was hit by a meteor. Mm-hmm. But until then, if they can continue to change, and I think they've shown a decent track record of being willing to change,
yeah,
that it can continue for a really long time. The stability that the Marvel Cinematic Universe has is, like, unprecedented, and no one else can do it. The way Marvel, like, works and interacts with itself is just insanely good.
Yeah.
And all this stuff coming out in the future, like, I was worried these TV shows were a gamble, but so far I'm like, fuck yes, give me more of this shit.
Yeah, no,
I'm having a great time with this. And, like, the slate of movies coming up is, like, really exciting. And that's not even everything. They're like, oh, we're going to do Fantastic Four, and we're definitely doing X-Men. We might call it Mutants. I don't know, but it's coming. I can see Marvel going on for, like, at least a decade.
Damn. We do a segment on this show called Middle Watch, which is exactly what it sounds like. We watch a show in the middle of a series and talk about it. There's so many things to watch. It's fun to just pop in, say hey, and then never look at it again.
So today we watched Pacific Rim The Black, a new Netflix anime, specifically season 1, episode 4, Up and Running, which yep. is not how I would describe the episode that I saw at all.
This takes place in the universe of Pacific Rim. Kaiju, big old mechs called
Jaegers.
And it seems like a dark and gritty take on a very cartoony world, which I think was very much inspired by anime. And so it's kind of weird to watch something now that's so not anime, you know?
So Pacific Rim the film is not great. I like it. I know you hate it. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I think as a concept, it's good.
Oh, totally,
and I feel like you could easily make things after the first Pacific Rim that are good. They made Pacific Rim 2 and it was just so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then they announced the show and I was like, okay, maybe something decent. In the world of the film, this rift opens in the ocean, right? And all these monsters crawl through.
As they do.
And I know we have nuclear submarines and we could have destroyed them, but we don't. So all these monsters come through and they start destroying all of our cities. And we're like, what do? We don't use our nukes even though we have them. So what we do is instead we build giant robots, but they're so big that we need two people to operate them. I know that's dumb, but stay with me. We need two people to operate these giant robots, and they do a neural handshake, and they can see each other's memories and brains and stuff. And sometimes they have trauma, and they see that trauma, and they're like, oh boy.
Oh no, the trauma.
If they're able to work through their trauma together as a team, they can fight the big giant monster. And sometimes the robots have missiles and swords and stuff, and sometimes they forget about the swords they have in the robot. That's fine. So, with these big giant robots, they fight all of these monsters. And in the first movie, they close the rift and they destroy all the monsters. So, it's like, okay. I don't really know when the show takes place. During the first movie, before the first movie, whatever. So, the show opens and it's a TV show. It looks like shit. I want to just say that right off the bat. It doesn't look good. And I don't want to be mean. I'm not saying all anime looks like this or all cartoons look like this. But the style that they chose for Pacific Rim the Black is bad, and it looks like you can see the mouse move the characters as they move.
It's a 3D model with 2D elements? It's really strange. It's bizarre, and I've seen it before in other stuff that's, like, made for very little money, and it's a way to get kind of, like, the profiles or whatever of anime, but then, like, be able to move things around and not have to hand-draw models and stuff like that. But it's doesn't look good. Does the same thing that the Dragon Prince does, where it's, like, very choppy movement. Taylor's the main character, main boy.
Main boy.
He has a sister named...
Harley?
Harley, there we go. They have a little kid they have called...
Who might be, like, an alien. He's so weird. It's a weird kid.
Yeah, his name's Boy.
Also worth mentioning that the giant monsters are made by aliens because they want to conquer the Earth by making giant monsters.
Yeah, so the monsters are essentially the Jaegers, but for the aliens.
Yeah, they're just giant war machines. And you might go, why wouldn't they just invade with ships and, like, You know America would make giant monsters if they could, so.
Yeah. And then you have May, who is a reluctant, I guess...
mercenary lady?
Mercenary
kind of?
For the main antagonist, it seems like, named Shane. Hey!
I'm a bad guy in Pacific Rim, everybody.
And they're in Australia.
Yes.
It's not good.
It's really bad. So I guess this brother-sister team are kind of stuck with this criminal gang, and that's what the Black is, I think.
I thought the Black was, like, a region.
So they're stuck with these criminals. Shane is the big bad, and he has a bunch of people working for him, and these siblings are stuck because the bad guys want something from them. I don't know. Mm-hmm. So they find this Jaeger that was downed, and it's kind of a shitty one. You know what I mean? It's literally like an instructional robot that they use for driving practice. Like, it is not what you want to tussle
there's
with.
There's no weapons.
So there's this drunk dude named Joel,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, I can fix the robot. I'm bulletproof. I can do anything. Spoiler alert, can't do shit. He almost has a stroke.
He does have a stroke.
So he's out. They can't use him anymore. Yeah. And it's like, we got to get this robot going.
Well, he was trying to drift with people that weren't, like, compatible with him, kind of thing.
Yeah, it kept messing up, and people would throw up, and it just wasn't working, you know, because it's a whole process to link your brain to big robot. And it didn't work, and then an alarm went off, and then this big monster is like, I'm a big monster, I gotta eat people and do stuff, that's my job. And they're like, shit, we only have 15 minutes. And it's funny, because I was checking the time, and it was 14 minutes left in the episode when he said that. And I was like, that's close, that's funny.
Yeah, so big monster runs through, like, low-res Dragon Ball Z backgrounds, and shows up. And May and Taylor are like, we're the only two people that know how to drive a Jaeger. Let us do it. And then they get in it. So May's like, I got trauma. And Taylor's like, it's mine now because we're linking brains. And then the robot gets beat up a lot by this dog monster.
Yeah, it does.
And then they set off mines and knock out the dog monster.
But they don't kill it because it's too big of a monster.
And I think it's the only monster they made for this season, so they have to keep using it over and over and over again.
I mean, it's not great. It's not bad, but it's not like a show it's not, make, you know?
But also, like, the movie had all these cool ones that, like, looked like gorillas and
they could do, like,
crabs
be like, oh, this
and
one
stuff.
Can do EMPs or whatever. And I'm like, sure, fuck it, let's go.
I'm like, what can this one do? And they're like, run.
Also, you know, if I could mention a show that was on for one season 1,000 years ago, there was a show called Symbionic Titan on mm-hmm. Cartoon Network for 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And the plot was very similar in the sense that these refugees landed on Earth, and then this alien world that got conquered by bad guys was like, well, we can deal with this rationally, or we can send a bunch of giant fucking monsters at the Earth. So they did that, but the refugees were part of, you know, a giant robot team, and they could make a giant robot, and they fought all these monsters. But, you know, it was a different monster every week. And if you're making a Pacific Rim show, you would think, oh, the formula is there for a new cool monster every week. Or every episode, at least.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they're like, no, we got to deal with this Copperhead guy. And I'm like, that's boring.
It is
why are you
boring.
Making it about... It's like, this is such a weird subsection of Pacific Rim. And it's not like Star Wars, where it's been around so long that you can just explore whatever corner and it'll probably work.
Mm-hmm.
In Pacific Rim, it's like, you've had two movies... And then for anime, we're going to deal with a cool crime syndicate. What?
I Why? Also like how... So the whole point of this was to get Shane a Jaeger so he can attack people or, like, do something. And I'm like, it's also at the end of the episode, it's like its arm gets blown off and everything. And I'm just like, so hold on. You're telling me that you're going to rage war against... the no one people of Australia who look to be just completely devastated by monsters somehow. And you're going to extort them because you have a Jaeger, but then they'll call in like another Jaeger that actually knows how to do things and they will kick your butt to Sunday, man.
Yeah, it's a weird plan that he has. And also at the end of the episode, he's real mad because they tried to fight the monster with the robot. I mean, they literally didn't have a choice. Even if they had tried to run, they still would have been attacked by the monster.
Mm-hmm.
So May and Taylor are like, well, what the fuck were we supposed to do? And then he's like, Shane's like, I'm going to point my gun at everyone because I'm a cool dude. That's what I do.
Yep.
And May is able to negotiate, like, listen, I'll stay with you and still work for you and kill for you, but only if you let the siblings go. And at the end, he's like, okay, I'll do that. But if you guys aren't gone by sunup, I'll kill you too because I'm cool. And so the episode ends seemingly with the idea that they're going to go off to do whatever their mission is. Find their parents, I think.
Something. Desert adventures? I thought their parents were dead.
There's some through line. They're trying to do something. And yeah. I assume that May would, in theory, defect eventually and be, like, a better person.
I think she's, like, pretty much already there.
Yeah, you know? But she just needs that push, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. To mention something, because we've been talking about a lot of stuff that we didn't like. And honestly, it just was a lot of nothing. The thing that I did like, though, in the movies, they're like, we need two people, and it's dumb, you know? It's really silly to have, like, two people in a big old metal monster. But in the show, they're like, oh, they have to be compatible, and they have to, like, have strong will and, like, you know, understand how things work and be smart and whatever. And I thought that they actually kind of made more to the point of why there needs to be two people to drive it. It with that kind of montage of the Joel getting synced up with, like, all these other randos. I thought that was, like, that was good. I was like, okay.
Well, in the movie, the crab scene, which is the best scene in the film.
Best scene.
So you have the main character, which is the most bland dude in the universe, and mm-hmm. then you have this girl who's, like, the best character in the movie. And when they try to drift, she has this, like, nightmare memory of when a giant crab destroyed her city, and it's terrifying because it's such so a big crab. Spooky. It's too big of a crab. And, then, you know, Idris Elba shows up, but before he shows up, it's like, oh, no.
Yeah.
But it's cool to explore trauma like that, I think. It's a very good visual way to be like, okay. You're really seeing, like, the part of a person that you would learn last if you were getting to know them.
Yeah.
But you're learning it first because you have to.
And it makes it more cathartic when she uses a giant space sword to cut through a pterodactyl. So, you know, it's like, take that, crab.
I'm not
crab.
Saying it's a great film. I'm just saying it has its moments. And also, as a universe, I think could become something more. Not this, though. Not the black, though. This is not what I wanted from this.
The thing that confused me, because I have no idea who this was made for.
Not me. Even though it seemed like it was made for me when I heard about it.
it looks like something that would be on, like, Disney XD. But at the same time, they say, like, goddamn and stuff like that. And I'm like, well, they wouldn't say that on Disney XD. But then instead of being like, get over your shit or whatever, they're like, get over your crap. And I'm like, oh, come on. So what is Disney XD? Very confusing.
Like, there's so many moments in theory that this universe could give you. It's like, oh, these are the first Jaegers they made, and they didn't work well because what were we doing? And I'm like, great. Or this is like when we started to lose the war, and I'm like, great. Or maybe this is in the future and we've ignored the second movie and we're gonna do something cool, and I'm like, great. No, they don't do these things that I'd want.
No, they don't. It's no Merlin.
Yeah, I feel like it really takes a lot of potential and then flushes it down the desert. So welcome to Newstown, our new-ish segment where we tell you things that you probably already know.
Population, us, and you now.
So Square Enix, a video game company, had an event recently where they're like, we're working on all of these things, and you're going to experience them if you want to. The biggest thing, and the thing that I'm most excited about, is they're making a new Life is Strange. There are these cool empath powers, and there's like a small town, and there's your brother got killed under mysterious circumstances and you don't really know how to control your powers. And it seems more in tune with what Life is Strange was about, because that was, you know, about murder, small towns, mysteries, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a lot of potential and I'm really excited about it. They're also doing more Avengers stuff, which is wild. Because
Who would have thought? Not me.
They're really committed. I played the Hawkeye DLC recently and it was really short, which kind of bummed me out, but it was really good. Because it was full of all these references to the comics, and I know they paid a lot of attention. Because they're like, here's the dog, and here's his best friend from the apartment, and you're going to go explore New York a little bit. And I'm like, oh my god, you guys read it? And then he meets his future self, and they also dunk on each other, and that's fun.
That's fun.
But they announced a new, like, Black Panther DLC, which will probably be free in the future, where Wakanda gets invaded by a bunch of assholes, and you have to stop them, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I'm fucking excited for that. Playing as Kate Bishop and Hawkeye was really good because they had learned from the game and they really enhanced your ability to play these characters.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of glad that Black Panther is coming out later when they've kind of gotten a handle on it.
They figured out how things go. Yeah.
So I think that'll be cool. Something I don't think will be cool. They announced this thing called Just Cause Mobile.
No.
And I don't know too much about how the game will work, but the trailer made me sad.
I'll have to look this up afterwards.
The pacing of the trailer was so quick, it just hurt my head. I was like, this looks so bad. I don't know how Just Cause could work in a mobile game that is anything but absolute dread.
Yeah.
They also announced They announced, like, an augmented reality version of Space Invaders. Sure, that could work, because yeah. it's Space Invaders.
It's Space Invaders.
Like, it's not a super involved game.
It's not like Just Cause.
Yeah, I don't mean that in an offensive way. It's just, like, a little bit of fun. I'm like, sure, that would work in a mobile sense, you know?
Yeah.
They're also going to remaster the original Life is Strange and then the prequel to that game.
Oh, that's cool.
And I want that. So Keanu Reeves made a comic book.
He did.
Called Berserker. And Netflix is like, we want it. And not only do we want a live action movie, but we want an anime. And hopefully the anime does not look like Pacific Rim.
Probably look more like Castlevania or something.
That'd be great. I'm fine with that. But Keanu Reeves will be involved with both. Like, he'll voice for the anime and then act in the thing. And I'm like,
Dude, that's great.
Cool. It's about an immortal half-god warrior. And he kind of wants to die, and he's fighting for the military, but only because they promise him that they'll figure out what his deal is so he can die.
Jesus.
And you can tell he really has passion for it. And I'm like, great.
Honestly, we love some passion. There's a lot of free games coming out for different consoles. If you're a subscriber to Game Pass, you have three like brand new titles this month. Genesis Noir, which looks like a cool, has a really cool black and white art style. Octopath Traveler is coming, which is first time coming to consoles, which is cool. It's a little RPG, pixel RPG. It's fantastic. Narita Boy, know nothing about that, but that's like day one coming. It looks
great. Pretty
cool, has a really cool art style. And then Outriders, which I played the demo of, and you know, I'm waiting to see more. Essentially, that is coming day one to Game Pass. So three games within like 2 weeks, day one coming to Game Pass. That's on top of all the Bethesda ZeniMax games that have come in the past couple weeks as well. If you are a subscriber to PS Plus, I want to say, you get Horizon Zero Dawn for free, which if you haven't played that already, what are you doing? Play that if you got a PlayStation. It's a cool game. So, do you have anything else, or can we get into the Cyberpunk update?
One small thing I'm going to mention is that there's a new HBO show coming out on April 1st. You'll get the first three episodes, and then they're going to make you fucking wait for it.
Mm.
It's called Made for Love, and it has a very Mind Control Ex Machina vibe. Looks super strange, but super good. And
is it spooky?
A little bit, yeah. I don't know how spooky. And the lead, whose name I can never fucking remember, and I'm sorry about that, but the lead is the woman from Palm Springs and the mother from How I Met Your Mother.
Oh,
and also she was the lead in the Star Trek episode of Black Mirror that was fantastic.
Yeah.
So I think it looks good. I'm glad that she's getting more opportunities, and I think that might be the next cool HBO thing, because I feel like it's been a little bit
since I've been excited for Sundays. Okay, so intro techno music here. Cyberpunk 2077 is getting an update, 1.2 to be precise.
Great.
When is that update coming? Yes. So a few things with this. They are kind of increasing the amount of time that it takes for cops to come and shoot you. That's pretty good. They are improving driving. They are adding new radio stations. They are updating some of the like kind of the tech stuff that you can do. It's called the neuroprocessor drives. I haven't played this game yet, man. I have no fucking idea what any of these words mean. I don't want these to be the only improvements.
Yeah, there's a lot of room to grow.
A lot of room to grow, you know? These are some good improvements. We'll see. Fingers crossed. Cyberpunk. Right.
If you have any shows that you love or hate and would like us to watch an episode in the middle of, please contact us. We are at Out of Dodge Pod on Instagram and Twitter. And we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah. If you're listening on Apple podcasts, give us a rate. Give us a review. That helps our podcast get discovered more. And it makes you feel like a good person.
Things aren't getting worse at the same rate as they were last year. So that's something.
Hey, an improvement.
An improvement. Anyway, stay safe.
I can't think of an outro.
On this and welcome to our video.
We had a reptile.
Wait, which wouldn't have been...